country. Gonna eat it. I'm Ryan Lloyd in the chair for David Martin Davies, who is traveling in Honduras to find out why immigrant children are leaving that country. Well, the peach stands are open and the peach craze has begun. Our mouths have been watering here at TPR all day. We'd hope to get someone from the Hill Country in the studio because we honestly wanted to taste those peaches, but we do have Jamie Vogel, a Hill Country Fruit Council member grower, joining us on the phone, and also Caitlin Dicker, a recent graduate of Texas A&M University, here to talk to us about getting into the family business. We want to welcome you guys. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Sure. Now, Jamie, let's start with you. Talk to us about the peach crops this year and how they compare to years past, especially when you have years like 2010, a great peach crop year, but also the not-so-good years like 2008, maybe 2009.
Yeah, we consider this to be the best crop that we've had since 2010. 2010 was a huge crop. We had basically 100% crop all the way around. Every variety had a full setting of peaches, and we're not quite there this year, but it is the best one we've had in several years. Last year, for instance, we had freeze damage in March that nearly wiped out our crop entirely, so it's a welcome relief to have peaches on the trees this year.
I want to remind our listeners that you can give us a call at 614-8980 or maybe send us a Twitter message at thus or at TPR Source, I believe it is, or send us an email. But, 614-8980 is the number to call, and maybe you have some recipes to share with us, or maybe you have some peach stories to share with us. Be sure to give us a call and let us know. But, you know, Jamie, I was just wondering how the geography of our region, of the Hill Country region, factors into the flavor of peaches. Why is it the Hill Country that produces such great peaches?
Well, we have a combination of factors that lead to it, and of course you can't grow peaches in every soil in the Hill Country, but the soils that our orchards are located in are generally sandy, loamy soils on top with a clay base that holds the moisture and the nutrients up in the sandy soil, and the acidity is right in the soil. And there's some other factors as well, like cooler nights in the Hill Country during the summer, and those things lead to just a little bit more flavorful peach than you may find in other places.
And by the way, you know, you're talking about varieties of peaches, you get Spring Gold or Regal or Flavor Rich or June Gold. Which one is your favorite, by the way?
My favorite is one we're going to start picking in just a few days, which is Loring. Always a really big, pretty peach and just full of good, sweet flavor, and we've got some others this time of the year. This is ushering in right now what we consider to be the peak of our season, which begins with the Loring and Red Globe and Majestic peaches, and then continues on with Rustin Red, Dixieland, Redskin, and some other good varieties like that that take us through the end of July.
I pulled up that list on TexasPeaches.com. They have a list from the Council of when things are ready. It looks like you said, Loring and Bounty from June 25th over to July 12th. And the Majestic ones are kind of in that middle season. We're in the 25th right now, so they're about till the 30th and when they're ready.
Yeah, and those are approximate dates. Peaches, peach ripening can vary. There's a lot of factors that can change it even as we go through the season. Interestingly enough, as we're talking right now, we're in a little bit of a gap between varieties. We've kind of finished up the Loring and the Carrie Mac, at least for our orchard, don't have a very good crop on them. We're waiting on Majestic, Red Globe, and Loring to start. And so while we have peaches available, we're having to sell a little bit smaller quantities. And that's really the first time we've had that happen this year. I think with the rain we had the other day and the sunshiny skies, these other varieties will crank up pretty quick.
Yeah, that's right. We have Bob Rose, a meteorologist with the Lower Colorado River Authority, based out of Austin. And I used to interview Bob when I was working in Austin. And Bob, welcome to The Source. I know aside from those cool nights and sunny days and those well-drained soils that help produce this unique environment for peaches, Bob, talk to us a little bit about the weather situation. Does the weather correlate to the production of a peach year?
Well, thank you, Ryan. Really appreciate you having me on. Yes, the weather plays a big part, and part of that it has to do with the Hill Country and being up a little bit higher and having a little bit chillier weather than other places in South Texas during the winter period. So the part of that is that we do get a lot of chilling hours, and what is that? That has to do with a lot of temperatures below 40 degrees through the winter period. And so being in the hill country, it makes it very favorable to have more of that than, say, areas along the I-35 corridor or areas to the east. So this is very beneficial for the trees to get a lot of these chilling hours during the winter period and really do promote a lot of good growth and a lot of blossoms on the trees during the springtime.
And, you know, Bob, I was wondering, and I don't know if I'm way off base here, but, you know, can we predict a peach crop based on, you know, maybe perhaps the effects of El Nino or La Nina?
Well, maybe to a certain extent. I really don't think you can make a huge forecast, but say knowing that we're going into an El Nino, or we have confidence that we're going into an El Nino fall and winter this year, you know, there should be plenty of moisture in the ground over the winter period for the trees going into next spring. In addition, one of the side benefits of an El Nino or side factors is that the winters tend to be a little bit cooler than normal as well. So knowing that would make one think also so that we should have sufficient chilling hours this upcoming winter to also help produce a good crop next year. Now, that's just, you know, the ingredients going into it. Of course, if you do happen to have a late freeze or if you have some hailstorms in the early part of the spring, that could change everything. But at least the factors going into next year or, say, in a given season, you can somehow, in some years, you can predict those at least those first variables would go into producing a good crop of peaches.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that the effects of one year is going to have a drastic effect on the next year.
Well, true, especially if you're in a multi-year drought where you're not seeing any big changes in the pattern in that drought year might linger on into the next year. But the part about late freezes, you really can't predict that. That is really more by chance than anything else. So that's sort of a wild card out there. I really wouldn't say that, you know, you could carry that over from one year to the next. And also hailstorms, it's the same thing. Some years you won't have any hail around the area, and other years you might have two or three hailstorms that, at least in the early stages of the peach production, it can knock a lot of the blossoms off, and that's something that really can't be predicted that far in advance either.
Hey, Jamie, got a question for you. We have an email from Joe, and he wants to know which are the freestone varieties and when are they expected to be available?
We are picking freestone varieties now. Harvester was one of our first freestones, which we're kind of finishing up right now. And of course, it's a freestone, classified as a freestone. It's not as true a freestone as some of the ones that come up, like Dixieland, Red and Rustin Red, Bounty, and some of those that I mentioned earlier. But yes, we are definitely into the freestone varieties now, and will be through the rest of the season.
How can you pick them out? How do you know which ones they are?
Whether they're freestone or not,
right?
It's by variety, and we know which are freestone and which are not. And of course, we let folks know that as they come to purchase them.
All right, so there you
go. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We also, I think on our website, it shows with the variety, whether it's a freestone or a clingstone, on the TexasPeaches.com website, on the ripening schedule. I'm not looking at it right now, but I believe it does show that as well.
All right. Well, we are talking about this year's peach crop, and it's the talk of South Central Texas right now. Give us a shout at 210-614-8980 or tweet to us at The Source. What are your favorite peach varieties, and do you have any favorite peach recipes? Give us a call and let us know. We'll be right back on The Source. We do have a couple of phone calls we'll get to right after the break. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. You know, there is no better place to get a peach than our own backyard, maybe literally, or they're just a short drive away to the Texas Hill Country. We want to get to a call. Lindsay has called in to talk about some peaches. Lindsay, welcome to The Source. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. So we moved into the Monta Vista area in 2010, and we inherited a lovely backyard peach tree. And this year, it produced a handful of delicious fruits, and the only other year that it did was 2010. So it's funny that your guest said those were the two most productive years in recent memory. I'm wondering, how to coax our tree to produce more fruit? What can I do to my soil?
That's an interesting question. Jamie, do you have any idea if we can have a hand in helping our peach trees along?
Well, if the tree is healthy, it's certainly more likely to produce a crop. What may have happened in those other years when she didn't have a crop was likely freeze damage.
Lindsay, is that the case?
Yes, he said a freeze?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, if you have a single tree, you might be able to cover it with plastic or put a sprinkler under it or something on those cold mornings and keep it a little warmer around it, and that might help you get a crop. Of course, we can't do that. And we can do some things, but not like you could do with a single or just a few trees.
Lindsay, just a question. Do you know what variety you have?
You know, I knew you were going to ask that, and I don't. I don't. I'll have to look on the website and see if I can sort of eyeball it.
How are the peaches? Are they nice and juicy, or are they sweet?
Oh, they're delicious. Yeah, they're a nice medium-sized peach with a very light-colored flesh and very sweet.
Sounds like some great recipes going on at your house.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Lindsay, thanks for calling in. And Jamie, you know, I guess it's just, you know, we do have peaches in, you know, peach trees in the city. People have them in their backyards all the time. And like you said, if you just cover them up, maybe when it gets colder, that might help it out. You know, extra watering, I don't know, does that help out? Or
keeps the humidity up around the tree, which will save some blooms and buds sometime when it's cold.
Well, you know, on the phone with us now is Caitlin Dicker. She is an A&M grad who is getting into the family peach growing business. And we also have Ricky Priest with us. He's with Gold Orchards in Stonewall. And Caitlin, I want to talk to you first and tell us a little bit about why you decided to take on the family business and get into peach growing. I mean, we've talked about the ups and downs of the growing business. Why do you want to take this on?
Yes, thank you for having me. Well, you know, I went to college always wanting to come back home, but not necessarily knowing if that was what I was going to do. And after internships in-state and out-of-state and living abroad and in Costa Rica, kind of realized you can't put a price tag on where you're from. And just the whole aspect of American agriculture is great. It's a humble business, but you are very proud and very excited when you have a peach crop and when you can watch all your hard work be enjoyed by someone else.
Just a reminder for our listeners, give us a call at 614-8980. And I'm eager to hear some recipes. I don't know if there's any unique recipes out there for peaches. But getting back to Caitlin, you know, do you rely on this as your sole income, or do you have other jobs to kind of when those crops may be not as good?
Right. No, I definitely do. I'm a third-generation grower, part of the family. My grandfather started growing peaches, and then my dad took over, and he realized that I couldn't solely rely on peaches to raise a family, and he's got another agricultural business with, like, food, feed and fertilizer and irrigation. That is the mainstay of the business. So during the spring and fall, that's where I'm working.
And now Ricky Priest, he's with Gold Orchards in Stonewall. And Ricky, thanks for being with us this afternoon. You know, what's your take on this year's crop?
Thanks for having me as well. It's been a really nice crop considering the last couple of years we haven't had very much at all.
You know, and talking about Caitlin's experience getting into the business, I mean, we need more growers. We need the future growers. You know, so that's one good thing we can glean from Caitlin's experience here. But you know, what can you do as a grower? Like we were talking about before, is there anything you can do to combat the weather conditions if you're not having a great year? Maybe just to get a little bit off the crop.
Not really. We're pretty much at the mercy of Mother Nature. We just have to deal the hand she gives us and go from there.
You know, what's your advice for picking peaches? If people are coming up to the Hill Country, what kind of peach is a good one?
Well, they're all good if you pick them right, I think. You want to pick them with good color and right as they're turning, you know, to turn ripe and just barely soft. And those are usually your better peaches when they're harvested that way.
Caitlin, did you study agriculture in college?
Yes, sir. My undergraduate degree was in horticulture, And with that, I was actually landscape design emphasis, but I had a fruit and vegetable class, and I actually grafted a peach tree, but pretty hard to make it take, and I had it planted out there, but it didn't make it past the freeze this past year. But, yes, I had an undergraduate in horticulture.
Yeah, and is it hard work, I mean, getting out there? And I mean, it's just not the, you know, you're just not at the store. You have a retail location, Berg's Corner, but it's just not the store that you're at. You're actually out there and you're working.
Well, me, fortunately, I get to be mainly at the store. Jamie and Ricky can both attest. They're both managing the stores and out in the field. We're fortunate enough to have a orchard manager who takes care of all of the picking, the spraying, the everything. And so without him, you know, we wouldn't be able to do what we do.
Well, we are talking peaches. Have you made it out to the Hill Country yet on your annual pilgrimage? Give us a call at 614-8980. That's 210-614-8980. And going back to Jamie for a few minutes, you know, Jamie, I know that we're not just dealing with peaches. I mean, there are local blackberries, there are plums, and those are beginning to be harvested as well. Talk a little bit about that and the business. I mean, this is a big economic push for the Hill Country. You're not only talking about peaches, but, you know, drawing people to that area. It's an economic factor.
Well, peaches have long been a draw to Gillespie County and the Fredericksburg area, and the two have kind of worked together. I mean, Fredericksburg has many, many different draws, and of course the wine industry is the new thing that's really become popular in the last 10 years, and some other things like the wildfires and so forth as well. And you know, it's always I guess a good feeling when we have weather events in the spring. I'll have you know, store managers, store owners, and so forth in Fredericksburg who will be texting me and calling me and want to know how the peach crop is going to be, because they know that if we have good peach crop, it's going to mean additional traffic, and it will be good not only for the peach business but for their businesses as well.
We have a caller on the line. Carl has called in, and Carl wants to know a little bit about what you can do with peaches. Carl, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Besides canning and freezing it, I'm principally thinking dehydrating. Can you dry peaches and save them for next winter? And if you can, how do you do it?
Jamie, you want to take that?
Well, you know, I'm not that familiar with drying peaches. We have not done that much of it ourselves. I know it can be done, and certainly if they're packaged properly, they can be kept for an extended period of time. We certainly love to freeze peaches. I think I enjoy eating peaches during the winter as much as I do during the summer. And, you know, freezing them, and then in the winter we'll pull them out and eat them fresh, or, I mean, raw, I should say, or put them in peach pancake batter or smoothies or cobblers or whatever it may be.
You know, I'm thinking something along the line of a peach jerky or something, if that's possible. I don't know if that's possible.
Well, if you can make that work, let me know. We'll talk.
We'll do that. We'll make a business out of it.
Sure.
Jamie, I mentioned blackberries and plums just a minute ago. Is that a big draw for y'all? Do you harvest or grow blackberries or plums?
We do have some plum trees, and we have a small blackberry patch as well. It's certainly not to the magnitude of the peaches, but and we actually are kind of on the end. We finished our plum crop. I think everybody else is mostly finished in the area, and we're kind of getting to the tail end of the blackberries. But what will start coming in now, we've been getting local fresh squash and green beans and so forth, but we'll start getting some local tomatoes, and they're just so good. I don't grow tomatoes myself.
Oh, I love tomatoes.
Some of the other guys in the area. And then, you know, and other vegetables. And then as we get into July, we'll start getting local watermelons and cantaloupes as well, which are really, really good.
You're making me hungry there, Jamie. You know, I just feel so fortunate to live in this area. And, you know, it's just kind of a cool thing that we have that we are able to take advantage of. And Caitlin and Ricky, I don't know if you want to chime in on this, but it's just a very unique area with some really great qualities and that people can enjoy. I mean, people come from all over, I'm sure, the world to the Hill Country for their peaches.
We have had people stop in the shed here from all over the world. It's kind of neat to hear where everybody's from, and to see, like Caitlin said earlier, see them enjoy tasting a ripe peach here that we just picked the day that day.
Of course, we all like to talk about these when we're having some great crops. But of course, and Jamie, one more question for you just before we go here. We were talking about a cyclical thing. I mean, in about a 7-year kind of time frame, when you have about 2 great years, 2 bad years, and then 3 in between years. And so, you know, where are we headed after this point?
Well, I mean, you can look back at the last 7 years, and it pretty much goes along with that. It has been a little bit tougher in the last 6 or 7 years because we've been in this drought cycle ever since the fall of 2007. And y'all were talking about weather factors earlier and freezes and that kind of thing. And we tend to have more problem with killing frost in a dry winter.
Hmm.
Because when you have a dry cold front come through, that's when you can get those extreme drops in temperatures. If there's moisture with it, that tends to keep it a little bit more mild. And we were pretty fortunate this winter to have some moisture with most of the cold fronts that came through.
And Jamie, just
kept us from having
one quick
sure,
one, just answer yes or no. Good year next year?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
I'm an optimist.
All right. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us, as well as Caitlin Decker and Ricky Dicker and Ricky Priest. This has been The Source on KSTX. I'm Ryan Lloyd.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.